Pakistan has been in the news every day since September 11th. The Muslim nation bordering Afghanistan is a critical ally in the United States' war against the Taliban. But Americans also see the television images of angry young Pakistanis who hate the U.S. So perhaps it's surprising that Pakistan's most popular band, Junoon, plays music that mixes Jimi Hendrix-influenced rock, complete with blue jeans and gyrating hips, and Sufi mystical music in the language of Urdu. Junoon gave a rock concert in an unusual venue on Wednesday night, the General Assembly Hall of the United Nations. But true to the spirit of the occasion, United Nations Day, Junoon shared the stage with a band from India. Marcel Marceau also performed, we should note, in the International Language of Silence. But that's another story. Junoon has millions of fans in Pakistan, India, and in the large South Asian communities in Britain, Canada, and the U.S. Salman Ahmad is the band's lead guitarist. He joins us from our New York bureau. Salman Ahmad, welcome.
Hi, nice to be here.
So you just heard this rather elaborate description of your music. Why don't I get it from the horse's mouth? You give me a description of your music.
You know, that's a really tough question. I mean, because music is so much more articulate than the musician. My influences are Western rock, classic rock like Hendrix and Led Zeppelin and Santana and U2. But at the same time, where I grew up in Pakistan, Lahore, it's the land of the Sufis, where poets like Rumi traversed the valleys and plains of the Indus, and they sang these verses of peace, harmony, and tolerance, and they celebrated their love for God through whirling dance and verse and music. So all of that folk imagery, music, has gone into really this melting pot called Junoon.
Your new CD called Parvaz, The Flight, is that right? The right translation?
Absolutely.
And what is The Flight?
Well, you know, the true ethos of Islam is Sufism. And Sufism is an inner journey of self-discovery, and where transcendence, where you go beyond the bounds of time and space, you float, you fly. And that's a lot of imagery of flying, you know, is in a lot of Sufi poetry. And for us living in the third world, living in a place like Pakistan, confronting the violence and the poverty and the chaos day in, day out, the spirit, you know, you really have to, you're forced to become introspective and try to understand your own spirit.
Which songs do you think exemplify those sentiments you were just talking about, the uplifting of the spirit, the flying?
Yeah, this CD, Parvaz, is dedicated to a 17th century Sufi poet, Bulle Shah, Baba Bulle Shah. And he was living at a time of great political turmoil in what is now Pakistan, but it was part of India back then. And, you know, the British were just beginning to colonize the subcontinent. And there was great animosity between Muslims, Hindus, and Sikhs. So here was this guy, an Islamic poet, who sang this line, said, Bulleya ki jana main kaun. And basically, he's questioning himself, who he really is. Is he evil? Is he good? And it's this sort of, it's a question. And I think that really is the basis for finding out really what humanity is about.
If I could just read the first few of the lyrics from this song, Bulleya. Bulleya, who am I? I am no believer in a mosque, and I have no pagan ways. I am not pure. I am not vile. I'm no Moses, and I'm no Pharaoh. Bulleya, who am I? First and last, I see the self. I recognize no second to it. You know, it reminds me of Henry David Thoreau in the Western canon, because it sounds like a person who's kind of asserting his humanity.
Well, absolutely, because love for humanity parallels your love for God. You can't, you know, love God if you don't love people. the other tune, which I find really fascinating, is Ghoom, where the lyrics again are from a 15th century Sufi poet called Shah Hussain. And he talks about, there's this one line in there which says that when you come to the mouth of the five rivers, pick one and live. And he's recognizing the plurality of life, the beauty and diversity. Again, these are the underlying ethos of Islam, which has been buried under this politicization and this sort of ignorance about what really is Islam.
Yeah, tell me some more about that. I mean, how are you thinking about Islam these days, or how are you talking to people about it?
Well, Lisa, I mean, to be honest, one of President Bush's advisors on Islam, his name is Imam Hamza Yusuf, he made a really interesting observation. He said, you know, on September 11th, the terrorists didn't just hijack the plane, they hijacked the entire religion. And, you know, to use what they did under the guise of Islam, I mean, it's very difficult to come to terms with that as a Muslim. I think there's a great crisis of identity right now in the Muslim world.
Do you feel that as part of this band?
Well, in the sense that I find I'm able to, because of, you know, music is such a powerful force of love, that it kind of gives you this umbrella to shelter yourself from, you know, the craziness that's outside. You know, in Pakistan, since September 11th, because of the fear that people are gripped with, that what's going to happen, all kind of activities, you know, cultural activities have come to an end. And October 9th, what I did was I went to people who really represent the silent majority of Pakistan. And these are the artists, the sportsmen, the lawyers, the doctors. And I went to them, I said, listen, are we going to let our people, our culture and our nation be hijacked by, you know, a minority which has never won any election? It hasn't won a single seat in the general election. I mean, I'm talking about the religious parties, the extremist parties. And are we going to just, you know, sit idly by, silent, while they go on CNN every night and present this, you know, this absolute, you know, distorted image of our country? And the only place available to play was this girls' college in Islamabad. And the principal and, you know, everybody was wanting for this to happen, because it was a collective catharsis for our people. And we did this gig on the 9th, and we shot it for television. Incidentally, it was 2 days after the bombing started in Afghanistan. So, I mean, it was just a crazy situation, but we were there, and we had 1,000 screaming girls, you know, absolutely going crazy, you know, dancing and celebrating. And, you know, it was a sigh of relief that our people needed also.
Salman, you live in Pakistan now, but you spent part of your childhood in the U.S., and one of your band members is an American who now lives in Karachi. But what's the climate been like for you in Pakistan since September 11th? Are you afraid that there might be some kind of backlash against Janoon, against you and your group?
You know, I don't even think about that. I just don't. Because what happened September 11th, I think in history will be seen as a point where the world came together, or that it just self-destructed. And you can't really think about personal safety or you know, self-preservation. You really have, this is the time to stand up and speak out. And for me, I have to say to the American people that it's too simplistic to think that, you know, that people in the Muslim world hate America because of its freedom. I mean, that's not the truth at all. You know, there is great anger and resentment amongst the Muslim world that a nation like the United States, which, you know, so many things that are so admirable about it, its human rights, its justice system, the resentment and anger is that why don't they practice, the American government practice that same sense of justice with the rest of the world? There are so many Muslim countries which are, you know, run by despots, you know, who are supported by the United States government. That's where the resentment and anger comes from. So it's not a black and white world.
Salman Ahmad, lead guitarist of the band Janoon. Their new recording is called Parvaz, The Flight. Thanks for talking with us, Salman.
My pleasure.
And for this evening, that's All Things Considered. Kitty Eisley edits, Tracy Wall directs, and Walter Ray Watson produces with Devar Ardalan, Annie Wu, Molly Peterson, Alice Winkler, and Steve Lichtai. Technical director is Abdullah Rufus. Audio engineers include Kurt Turner and Greg Gavin. Our librarians include Kim Oleski and Sally Robertson. The executive producer for Weekend News is Paul Brown. And I'm Lisa Simeone. Good evening from Weekend All Things Considered and NPR News.